بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا أما بعد Respected elders and brothers Allah sent us into this world to prepare for the life after death Whatever little good actions we do it sincerely for the sake of Allah Allah will reward us in the akhirat inshaAllah al-Aziz I got Riyaz al-Salihin in front of me and the seven categories of people that would be given the shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on blessed day of Qiyamah when the sun will be above our head and according to a person's sins he'll be drowning in his perspiration may Allah include us among the seven people عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل ورجل القلب معلق بالمساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله استمع عليه وتفرق عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات حسن وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففازت عيناه متفق عليه This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are seven people to whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provide shade under his throne, a day when there will be no shade except the shade provided by him. Number one, a just ruler. A person is a king or president of a country. He does everything with justice. Or in a small level, if you are chairman or president of a Muslim organization, or if you're a judge in a Muslim court, or if you are doing arbitration between two people, you don't have your personal grudge against the person. You don't have some personal vendetta, you hate the person for something else. Now you'll take it out on something else. You have to be justice, and Allah knows best what is hidden in the heart and mind of people. So we must be just and fair. A youth who grew up in the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One is, everyone have to read Salah. Everyone have to fast in the month of Ramzan. You have to give 2.5% of your zakat if you have wealth access to the nisab of zakat. And then you have to go for hajj once in a lifetime you can afford it. And the moment you reach the age of 14, 15 years, that all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are compulsory and we have to carry it out. Now, when a person is young, 15, teenagers, in the early 20s, etc., we have all our temptations with us. And the saying, "Ash-shababu nu'un min al-junun," youth life, is part of madness. That's why very important that how we bring up our children at home. One is from the age of 7, make them read Salah. From the age of 10, be a bit strict. Send them to the afternoon maktab madrasas. At home, the parents also revise the madrasa lessons. Be regular with the Salah. And also today's time is very, very important, the type of school we choose for our children. Alhamdulillah, there are many Islamic schools that are supervised by ulama. The Islamic sections is supervised by ulama and they use good syllabus. And as the students reach high school or reach the age of puberty, 14, 15, they have separate facilities for females and girls. For females and boys, boys are separate, girls are separate. Or there are some schools that only cater for girls. It's only a girls' high school where there's no boys. So that is the ideal. And they're strict on the Islamic dressing. Cloak, scarf, burqa, etc., Allah accept. Now, it's very dangerous if we send them to a non-Muslim private school where the dressing is compromised, where the laws of hijab are compromised. The young boys and young girls, they sit together, break time, they're having lunch together, they're having... Now, if young teenage boys have tea together or eat their lunch together or the joke and laugh together, then the third person will be shaitan to entice them to commit the sin of adultery, zina, etc. And zina starts up with a sweet conversation, lustful glances with the eyes, and then shaking hands, and then the sin of zina, etc. take place. May Allah protect our iman. And some non-Muslim private school, they teach un-Islamic subject like some Christian ethos. We know Nabi Isa alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah. And Nabi Isa alayhi salam was not crucified on the cross. Allah took him up. And we seek help from Allah Ta'ala. We cannot say Jesus is God or Jesus is the son of God. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is not God and neither the son of God. And if we are exposed to any un-Islamic literature or any un-Islamic sayings, we are living in non-Muslim countries, it's an amal of a pious personality. Then when we read or we see anything that is about kufr and shirk, recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul Wallahu Ahad once or three times immediately. Every Muslim knows Surah Ikhlas. Recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Allahu Samad, lam yalid, walam yulad, walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. So we don't only look at the circular subjects for our children, that they can get a good degree in math, science, English, they can become a doctor, a teacher, etc. And we feel happy for our Muslim youth if they become a good doctor, a good accountant, etc. But not at the expense of your correct Islamic beliefs and practices. You cannot become a murtad, leave the fool of Islam. May Allah protect us. So it's the parents' duty to choose such types of school, madrasas, where the iman will be protected. And same time, they can learn the secular subjects also. Allah make it easy. The next, the third is a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. We go to work for our necessities. We read our fajr, recite Surah Yasin, make dua, go for work. And at our work, we see 12:30, 12:45, we come for Zuhr Salah. After Zuhr Salah, we have our lunch. We go back to work, we see what time is Asr. In the winter months, Asr is early, 4:15, 4:00, 4:15. In the summer months, Asr is later, 4:45, 5:00, 5:15, 5:30, etc. You're always looking, longing to go back for the next Salah. And then when we come home, tired from work, read our Maghrib Salah also on time. In summer, Maghrib is late now in South Africa. We're going to the summer months. It's already about 6:20. It'll go to 6:30, 6:45. 7:00 Maghrib will come. Isha will come to 8:30, 8:45, 8:50, 9:00, 8:50, 9:00, etc. But we read Salatul Jama'ah. We read Isha Salatul Jama'ah. We get the reward of spending half the night in Nafil Ibadah. We read Fajr Salah with Jama'ah. You get the reward of spending other half of the night in Nafil Ibadah. And we read Isha and Fajr together. You get the reward of spending the entire night in Nafil Ibadah. So try to read all our Salah with Jama'ah. Sleep early at night. Don't waste our time with the shaitan box, watching music, films. Even professional thoughts is a big fitna. You sleep late, 12:01 in the morning, and Fajr is 4:15, 4:30, 4:20 is Azan. How are you going to get up? So sleep early and get up early for Fajr and set our alarm clock and try to read all our Salatul Jama'ah, inshallah al-Aziz. Number four, two people who love each other for the sake of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. They meet for the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and part ways for the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We Muslims, we will love one another for the sake of Allah. One is we come for the daily 5 farz salah to the masjid. Similarly, Jamaat brothers meet to do gush or spend 3 days, 40 days, 4 months together. They all come in with their own traveling expenses. Nobody gets sponsored. They work, and with their own money, they come out. Similarly, our respected ulama-i-kiram in the afternoon maktab madrasa, the students and the ustads are meeting. In the elderly students in the Darul Uloom, 7-8 hours of the day, they are meeting for deen. They're all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some Muslim organization, they get volunteers to do relief work among the poor and needy. This is also very good work. But whatever work you do, farz namaz, you must not miss. Sometimes people do relief work, but they're not reading the farz salah. Farz salah you have to read under all circumstances. And we need to abstain from haram also. Even those organizations that are doing relief work with the poor, the laws of hijab must not be compromised. Males must interact with males, females to interact with females. And females cannot travel 77 kilometers or more without a male relative. They have to travel with a mahram. Number five, a person whom a woman of nobility and beauty tries to seduce him, but he says, I certainly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in non-Muslim countries. A pretty girl tried to entice you to commit zina. We are not Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. So as far as possible, don't be alone with a female in a vehicle, in an office, in a lift, in your workplace also. Try to observe the laws of hijab and don't be alone with a strange female, but Allah is watching. Number six, a person who gives in charity and conceals the charity of his to such an extent that even his left hand does not know what the right hand spent. You give ikhlas, charity with such ikhlas, that what the right hand gives, they don't come to know. Allah must know. A person who engages in the remembrance of Allah, tabarak wa, the solitude, and his eyes shed tears. Seventh person is, you take the tasbih and make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of the love of Allah, our tears flow. Or out of fear of our sins, astaghfirullah, we have nadamat, that we are sinful, Allah must forgive our sins. To control our tongue, control our mixing with people. There's a saying of a pious personality, khalwat mein zo maza hai, jalwat mein itna maza nahi hai. Just such enjoyment in seclusion, where I can take the tasbih and recite zikrullah, I can take the Quran Sharif and recite. And in mixing with people, time gets wasted. We end up gossiping, ghibat, slandering people, and talking unnecessary things. So our time and our tongue is under control when you don't mix with people too much unnecessary. Now the virtues of going to meet people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I got Riyaz al-Sali in front of me, the English translation, page 237. وعنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أن رجلا زار أقله في قرية أخرى فأرسل الله له على مدرجتي ملكا وذكر الحديث إلى قول إن الله قد أحبك كما أحببته في رواه مسلم. Hazrat Abu Hurairah narrated that Rasulullah said, a man went to visit his brother in another town. Allah Tabarak sent an angel to wait for him in his path. When the man reached the spot where the angel was waiting, the angel asked him, where are you going to? He replied, I'm going to meet my brother who's living in this town. The angel asked, do you owe him any favor which you are going to return to him? Maybe he took a loan. You borrowed some money from him, going to return the money or some business or something. He replied, no, the only reason for my going to him is that I love him for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The angel said, I am a messenger sent to you by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I have come to inform you that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves you just as you love your brother. Mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Imagine Allah loves a person because you're traveling to meet the people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we link people to the masjid where they can make tawbah, istighfar. We must help the poor and needy with food, water, all that is very, very important. But you don't need farz namaz, you're not abstaining from haram. then we may end up in Jahannam. May Allah protect us. And we have to love the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma an al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala fil ansar la yuhibbum illa mu'minun wa la yubghiduhum illa munafiqun man ahabbahum ahabbahu Allah wa man abghadahum abghadahu Allah. Muttafaqun al-Bukhari al-Muslim. Hadrat Bara ibn Azib narrated that Rasulullah said, with regard to the Ansar, during the golden era of Rasulullah, the early Muslims of Mecca, when the non-Muslims were persecuting them, causing harm to them, they migrated to Medina. The Muslims of Medina, known as the Ansar, because they helped and assisted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the early Muslims. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed grave is in Medina Munawwara also. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we must love his Sahaba, his companions, had Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, all the Sahaba. So Nabi, none but a believer loves them, and none but a hypocrite does not like the Sahaba. The Shias, they speak bad of the Sahaba, we dislike them, because they're going against this hadith, where Nabi says, you must love my companions, and the Shias speak bad of my Sahaba. May Allah put, they are genuine hypocrites. And innal munafiqin fi darkil asfali minan nar. The hypocrites will be the bottom end of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. Whoever loves the Sahaba, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also loves them. And whoever detests them, Allah Tabarak will also dislike them. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Hadith number 3783. And Muslim in Kitabul Iman, Hadith number 129. So we need to show our sincere love and respect for them. And also, I'm leaving at the Arabic time is short. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you love somebody, make salam to him, express your love, and you give a dua. أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ. May Allah also love us for whose sake we love another. Another dua, أَدْحَكَ اللَّهُ سِنَّكَ. May Allah always keep us smiling. And I made another dua. You must smile the day we leave the world with iman. Smile in the qabr. Smile on the day of Qiyamah until we go to Jannatul Firdaus. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.